A floral response to an often grim world. Re. Flower count has run its course. Letter, March 7. This is an issue. We have war in Ukraine, the Israel-Gaza conflict, Trump south of us, homelessness, a healthcare crisis, global climate change, an opioid crisis, a lack of potable water in the north, and the list goes on. So folks want to count flowers. Go for it. John Stevenson. Victoria. Fix problems before bringing more people. I have lived in BC since 1964 and always thought it was without a doubt the best province in Canada. I cannot believe what has happened to it in about the past 8 years. More accurately, I cannot believe what politicians have allowed to happen to it. Politicians used to have at least some credibility, but now I can't stand to even listen to them. They disgust me. Their own money is undoubtedly tucked away safely, their fat pensions heavily protected, and they just want to get in their 6 years to sit back and collect. This government is spending billions of our tax dollars to build more housing so they can bring more people, when they can't take care of the people who pay taxes and voted them in. I watch David Eby and Katrine Conroy go on about the billions they're spending, and they make me sick. They have no idea what's really going on. How about actually doing something about our health care? Do something. Don't bring more people here until you fix it. So sad that this province is falling apart. Larry Zelensky. Sonich. Check the dictionary for the right words. Re. BC has longest wait times in Canada for walk-in clinics, February 22. The words patient and patients as defined by the Oxford Dictionary. Patient. Person registered to receive medical treatment. Patience. Ability to endure delay and hardship. Glenn Rogers. Victoria. Get information before deciding. A pair of opinions have appeared in the Times Colonist on the subject of safe supply, both well thought out and crafted, but diverging in their conclusions. Basically, one writer said, hold your horses, while the other said, full steam ahead. Both evoked science as their guide and allowed that more data was needed. So why the conflicting conclusions? One possible answer is it comes down to temperament. One wants to dive in on spec, the other would rather play it safe and be sure to get it right. But I think the main difference was the willingness of each to favor those areas of the data that supported their personal inclinations. One notes the one-week record of success while the other cites the year-over-year increase in fatalities. I think it's fair to say that on this one, the science isn't settled. However, there are some jurisdictions with more extensive experience we might look to for advice. Our local safe supply model basically mimics the Portland model, which was inaugurated a decade or more ago to great expectations. But when you ask folks down there how it's going, most will tell you, it's been a disaster. Don't follow our lead. However, that can be a difficult choice to make once this program is allowed to grow into another government industry with a $1 billion budget and a dedicated workforce. Already the advocates are making noises in that direction. By the time we notice the iceberg, it might be too late to turn the ship around. Maybe it would be wise to pump the brakes on this for a bit, while we keep gathering data. Michelle Murray. Sonich. Many skiers the cause of their own demise. Re. White Mare, Islander, March 3. Climate experts, like University of BC climate scientist Michael Podwerny, are telling us that bad years on BC's ski hills are going to become the norm. And if we want to ski in the future, we need to get together and reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. Unfortunately, Podwerny's message isn't getting through to skiers. Rather than taking a serious look at changing their CO2-producing behavior and cutting back on fossil-fueled travel, some are traveling further to find skiable snow. If the National Ski Areas Association is serious about tackling climate change and protecting our winters, it needs to step up its push for carbon-limiting legislation. In the unlikely event the NSAA is successful, the skiing public, who seem unable to make the connection between human-generated CO2 emissions and the lack of snow, won't be happy. Ken Dvornichuk, Esquimalt. Anomalies in paychecks raise questions. Working on a leap day shouldn't earn extra pay. Letter, March 6. The writer raises some interesting questions. On the one hand, if hourly paid employees get paid for working the extra hours they work in a leap year, why not all workers? On the other hand, each time a new statutory holiday is introduced, yearly paid workers don't lose a day's pay, but hourly workers who work on the holiday get double pay. While some may grouse about these anomalies, I doubt if many workers who get a yearly salary would want to switch to hourly pay. For some, complaining about perceived slights like these has become a full-time job. S.I. Peterson, Nanaimo. Why not move to regional governments? Perhaps regional districts should become regional governments. Social need is moving much faster than legislation, and we're seeing the first cracks in municipal authority with the BC government's much-needed grabbing of the wheel on residential zoning. If we're headed for top-down governance, let's get on with it. The bones of regional government are already there in the Capital Regional District, Cowichan, Nanaimo, Comox Valley and elsewhere. With so much cost downloaded on local governments from above, their breaking point can't be far off. Centralizing by region would take some brave politicians who don't mind not being re-elected. Steve Ireland, Denman Island. Send us your letters. Email. Letters at timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road, Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.